Good to see everybody out this morning. Always wonderful to come together. It's always great to be here with our brother and sister in Christ to study the Word of God as we have the opportunity to do so. It's just always wonderful to be able to do that. Always great to be here. It's always good to see when we've got pews full, and it's just always wonderful. If you want to open up your Bibles to Matthew 19, we'll start in Matthew 19 this morning. Matthew chapter 19. And going to read about rich young ruler. As we go forth and read about it, what I want to focus on in the story here is the love that Christ has. And looking at the love Jesus has for the rich young ruler, and of course to see how that goes forward to us today and how we can learn and use the same love that Jesus has as he spoke with the rich young ruler here. So as you open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19, we're going to start there in verse 16. It says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' And he said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me.' But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, and he had great possessions." And so as we look at the example here that Jesus has given to us, of course, Jesus has gone forth and has been teaching the Word of God, and performed many miracles and healing the sick and the lame, and going forth and spreading the words of the Lord. As he goes forth, of course, he's willing to answer questions. It's not the first time that he was questioned. And he willingly gives answers to the questions that are asked. Sometimes asking questions back, putting it back on them. Even just before this, he shows his love as he's willing to allow little children to come to him after him working throughout the day and teaching and traveling and all that he's already done. And so we see a great amount of love from our Lord. And there's two points I want to look at as we talk about Jesus and the rich young ruler. And the point that his love of going forth and teaching and willing to sit there and answer these questions and willing to give those answers to others. As we've been commanded in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 15. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense," or an answer, as some translations might read. It says, "to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Here is it commands us to sanctify the words of God in our heart, to take his word, learn them, put them in our heart, to know them, and to always be ready to give an answer, always ready to give a defense. In one manner, that's for ourselves, that we're not going to be easily swayed one way or the other. That we're not going to be tossed to and fro as children, as the wind goes and blows about, that as soon as someone comes and questions our faith, and they start to maybe throw out another verse that you haven't quite looked at yet, or start to say how they feel and how other people are doing so much, that you won't be easily swayed one way or the other. But another point to bring out about that is that we're willing to give an answer because we're wanting to teach the truth, because we want to be like God and we want to be like Jesus and willing to spread the word of God to others. Jesus had a love willing to teach others, willing to answer questions, to guide them in the right direction. For the most part, we see that Jesus humbly speaks to others, and he does never seem to raise himself higher. Even when he speaks before Pilate, he doesn't hold himself in high regard of, "Look, I am the Son of God. Who are you to sit here and question me? You think you have all the power in the world.
He does answer. You know, you would have not have this power without God giving it to you. But it doesn't read into the point that he's being arrogant, that he's being proud and prideful, that he's being selfish. Rather, he gives himself. And a teacher is one who's willing to do that, one who's willing to reach out to others and has a great love for others and willing to teach these things, answer these questions as you look at it. In John chapter 21, turn along with me to John 21. Here Jesus speaking to Peter. Jesus speaking to Peter here before, of course, we get caught up and the three times he questions him about love. And we go and we kind of refer that to Peter denying the Lord three times before the rooster crows. And we talk about that going back and forth. But look what Jesus focuses on as he asks this question of Simon, do you love me? In verse 15, he says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Judah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter grieved because he said to him third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus didn't have a flock of sheep that he was telling Peter to go and feed. A literal flock of sheep. And he's saying, hey, make sure while I'm gone that you take care of these sheep for my mom. For my brothers, and you make sure they get fed. Rather, he's talking about the church here. He's talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ. He's talking about you and me, and of course, for Peter, for those who are alive then. He's telling them to feed his sheep, to take the words of righteousness and the words, the bread of life, and feed the people, feed his church, to go forth. When Jesus asks him about love, and of course, we're told, if you love me, keep my commandments. Turn to John 14, verse 15. We love Christ, we're going to keep his commandments. And Jesus sitting here questioning, trying to encourage Peter to get back up, to continue to go fight the good fight. And what he focuses on, if you love me, worship me. If you love me, make sacrifice for me. If you love me, give this much money. But rather it's, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Make sure that you go forth and you help others overcome the temptation that you failed to overcome yourself. Show them how that if they do fall, that they can come back just as you have. Tend to my sheep. Feed my sheep. And the way we do that is, again, the Word of God. To go forth and spread. How much love there is there just having the Word of God. God willing to give that to us. As we consider the words of God. They can make it a way of, look, you got to figure this out for yourself. You have to figure out how to be righteous on your own. You have to figure out how to get to heaven on your own. I've already done enough. I've created you. I've made the sacrifice for you. He went and was sacrificed for you. Much more does he have to do, but he goes further to give us the words of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. And as we look at that, it has everything we need to teach, right? Everything to teach our brothers and sisters in Christ, to teach ourselves, to correct brothers who have fallen away, to rebuke those brethren, to correct those who are simply in false teaching that have never obeyed the gospel, to instruct in righteousness. In all manners of teaching, the Word of God is there so that we can teach whichever way we have to do it. And it's all out of love that we should be teaching. Because that's what he is doing here, even though it seems that it's just young ruler here, young man, rich man, is asking these questions. And Jesus giving the answers, and the rich young ruler seems to, you know, oh yeah, I already know that. I've already been doing those things. What more do I have to do? Jesus is willing to answer. He loves this person. He loves us all. So he's willing to answer these questions.
Again, go back a few lessons a while back as we talk about being approachable. Jesus was approachable. Others were able to approach him and ask these questions. He was willing to answer them. Because we have to be willing to teach. If we look at Romans 10, verse 17, we often quote it, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That if we truly have faith, if we want to have faith, then we have to know the words of God. And if we need to know the words of God, then we have to have those who are willing to teach, those who love others enough to teach. Whether we're talking about parents to children, husband to wife, wife to husband, stranger to stranger, friends, neighbors. As we look here in Romans 10, verse 14, it says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Jesus taught. We get focused on, we look at our Lord and Savior, and we teach our kids, and especially, you know, because it's just so miraculous, the miracles that he was performing. Able to walk on water, feeding 5,000, healing the leper, healing the lame, giving sight to the blind. But in all that, if they could not find the truth and a way to obey the gospel, what good would it be to be healed on this earth if we did not have the truth to be able to be healed spiritually? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, again, as we look and think about teaching, we look to our children, and that's love for your children. Willing to teach them. Willing to raise them correctly. And it says, any fathers, do not provoke your children in wrath, but bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord. And we have this command to teach. But it's because we have a love for one another. When we talk about elders, who again, we kind of look to Peter and what was commanded to him. And Peter, as you do your search in scriptures, and you find that he was an elder, that he shepherded a flock. They look out for our souls. One of their qualifications is that they're apt to teach. They're capable. They're able. Of course, that means they're willing because they desire this work. If you go to the story of the rich young ruler in Mark, turn along there with me. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 21. And again, when we go forth and we're willing to rebuke, to make that sacrifice of rebuking someone, willing to step up and telling someone that they are wrong and instructing them in righteousness, correcting their mistakes. It's still a lesson that is being taught, something that is being taught to others and showing them the truth and how they should be done. And so when we look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 21, when it says here about Jesus' answer, it says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. When Jesus replies back to him, when the rich young ruler, he comes and he says, what must I do in order to enter into heaven? What must I do in order to enter into the kingdom? Keep the commandments. Which ones? Well, love your father, mother, obey them, you know, don't kill, murder. Oh, yeah, I've kept all those. What do I lack? What needs to be done so that I may be perfect? And again, if it is true about this young ruler that he has kept these other commandments, that he's not committed adultery, that he has respected his parents, that he tithes and he gives and he honors, and he's probably a decent fellow. Maybe a little arrogant, I don't know. He has money. But it seems that he might be a decent fellow because he's sitting here, well, I've kept these commands. He wasn't a very bad person if he's kept these commandments. But yet, that wasn't enough. Jesus didn't turn around and say to him, well, you've done enough for your part. Let other people do the rest. He was willing to teach him. He was willing to tell him where he was lacking. Willing to instruct him because he looked at him and loved him. But he also knew the heart of the young ruler. He knew where his true treasure was. So he looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, go your way. Sell whatever you have. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at the word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Jesus loved him. And today, the world says, well, if you love them, you'll let them be happy in whatever they're doing. You'll love them, then you'll allow them to just go on in their life. Ignore the situation. Don't start conflict. Don't start fighting. Jesus looked at the young ruler and loved him. And was willing to tell him what he needed to hear. Was willing to instruct him on what he was lacking. What he needed to step up and do. It wasn't that he wasn't doing certain things. He was keeping these other commands, but he needed to go further. He needed to do more. Sometimes that's what needs to be taking place. And sometimes it's not sitting there and saying, look, I'm here to tell you what you've done wrong. Sometimes we do wrong just because we haven't done certain things. We need to be doing more. When God has commanded us to do things, we have to do those things. We have to keep his commandments. So Jesus was willing to rebuke. In Revelation 3 and verse 19, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, here it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. As many as I love, I'm willing to correct them. I'm willing to rebuke them. I'm willing to instruct them in what they need to be doing, what they need to stop doing. So when it truly comes down to it, if we love somebody and we know that their life is going to take them down a bad path, that it's going to cause them pain and sorrow in the future, and we can see where they're headed, and we're going to tell them to stop and turn around because we truly care for them. We truly love them. That's what Jesus is saying here. As soon as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Again, as we study the Old Testament, we see them do it time and again. As God rebukes the children of Israel, we might get caught up and just sit here and say, well, that's because God was angry. Yes, he was angry. I'm not denying that. It says it. It says God was angry. He was jealous. Because they had decided to turn to the world. They decided to go forth and follow idols. Things that could not do anything. Because he loved them, he's willing to rebuke them and not just destroy them. Because he loved them and he wanted to give chance to those who are faithful. He wanted to give a chance to those of the future to have salvation, that he was willing to rebuke them. To allow them to go into captivity so that they would learn their lessons, so that they would see how bad things were, and that they would call on God and seek how they should obey. People will get caught up and say, well, that sounds like a cruel God. Well, that's a God that loves. He's willing to rebuke them, willing to allow them to be punished because he doesn't want them to continue in sin. To continue to go down the wrong path. In Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Again, willing to discipline your children. Willing to give them spankings. Willing to take their toys away. Willing to put them in the corner. Willing to ground them, whatever punishment needs to take place so that they will learn their lesson. Because if it's just getting on to them and they don't change, then something more needs to be done. And if that doesn't work, then something else needs to be done because they need to learn their lesson. They need to learn to do what is right. They need to learn to obey their parents, to respect them. Why? Because when they get older, they have a law of the land that they have to obey. And not just that, but they have a God that they have to learn to respect and obey. If they don't learn that at home, or they don't learn it to love God, to obey Him, to be prepared for that day of judgment. As many as we love, we will rebuke. Again, even within the church, within our brothers and sisters in Christ, when we practice church discipline, it's about our love for our brethren. 2 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 14, it says, and if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person. And do not keep company with him that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And we go to Matthew and we look there and see church discipline. And it says, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. And if he hears you, he receives the truth, he repents of his sins, he turns away from it, then you've gained a brother back. It doesn't say go and tell him his fault, chase him out of town, don't ever see him again. Here it says don't keep company with him, but don't treat him like an enemy. It's saying make sure you practice the word of God and what he tells us in church discipline, but don't cross that line of becoming enemies, but truly showing them love and concern, that this is what you feel in your heart, that you truly care for them, that you're willing to risk your friendship to bring it up. Bring up a matter of, hey, I believe you're in sin. To bring up the matter of, I believe you're going down the wrong path. Why? Because we love each other. And I don't want to see you go to hell. I don't want to see you miss out on heaven. I don't want to go to heaven without you. Jesus looked at this young ruler, this rich young person, loved him. But he did not hold back the truth. He loved him and was willing to teach. Willing to tell the truth and let it be known what needed to be heard. Even if it meant that this young ruler might have turned away and never sought Jesus again. We can't hide from conflict. Again, the Word of God tells us that there are few who will be saved. And so we know that there are few who are going to hear and accept the invitation that we continue to extend for the Lord. We have to be willing to do our part, to go out and spread the word of God, to go out and shine his love into all the world. So let us continue to do that. Let us make sure we're always teaching the truth. Let us have love for one another. Don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. If you're here this morning, you have not accepted the love of Christ, the love of God, and cast off that fear, the fear of going to hell, the fear of being cast into an eternal lake of torment. And we want to encourage that you obey the gospel this morning, that you are baptized to wash your sins away. You're willing to confess your faith, repent of those sins. We'll assist you in being baptized. And God will wash your sins away. If you're here this morning and you have fallen away, or if you need a prayer's congregation to help you not fall away, to continue to fight that good fight, if there's anything we can do for you, you let it be known as we stand this morning.